Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnistry Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
My bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your host, King Baby Duck. So yeah, I'm speaking with a bit of a sharp voice on this week's show. I attended something last night that made me hoot and holler and dance all through the evening, but I will talk about that during the first break. For those of you who are new to No Borders, No Race, first off, hi, and second, I don't normally sound like Tom Waits gargling kerosene, but even if my vocal cords are a tad stressed out, I still believe that the show must go on, and go on it will. Now, as one con ends, another begins, and as of this posting date, I am getting my final preparations ready for PAX East, which is happening this weekend at the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center. Don't bother trying to get tickets, as it's been sold out for months. Anyways, I'm excited once again to be hanging out with all of our press pals over at the event. So be sure to go on to the Electric Sisterhood ETM Now page for all the latest news from the convention, and on the B3 site for any audio interviews I'll be conducting within the gaming industry. For now, though, let's get this show on the road. So, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these albums and EPs from cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. We're going to kick things off with something new from our friends Molise, who just released a new album called Resonance Love. Fun fact, it was produced by Kazuto of Japanese metal band Electric Eelshock. Here's the opening track from the new album. It's called Thinkers.
Thank you. in just a little bit, as well as two DVDs, a live concert recorded last month at the Tokyo National Stadium, and a documentary about their 2012 world tour. Alright, let's talk about why my voice is short. This past Friday, I experienced an event unlike any other. Now, I've been to many concerts and have seen plenty of amazing feats on stage. Roger Waters performing The Wall at the TD Garden, Rammstein burning the roof down at the DCU Center, Guitar Wolf leveling Church, and Queens of the Stone Age laying waste to the Aggeneis Arena. Now, let me tell you about a band you should all go see, and they call themselves the World Inferno Friendship Society. I've known about Whiffs for many years, heard some of their songs, but never experienced one of their live shows before. This time around, they're playing at the Sinclair, which is one of the newest additions to the many rock clubs in the Cambridge area. I got incredibly interested in going to this specific show because of who they were playing with, Emperor Norton's Stationary Marching Band. So we're on our way to the gig, and my friends and I, we find out that there's another band playing with them called Morning Glory. And it turns out that the drummer for this band was Brian Viglione of the Dresden Dolls, Loud Boy, Violent Femmes, and The Clicks, back when they were the first interviewed band for the Boston Bastard Brigade. So yeah, we were pretty pumped about that. What I didn't count on is what these bands were going to be giving back to their fans that evening. The first band that goes on is Emperor Norton's Stationary Marching Band, and they are killing it loud and fast. The audience is dancing, and we're all having fun. Up front, there's like these sorts of extreme dancing, like shenanigans happening, and I'm sitting out back admiring the view, but decided not to join. That's when Emperor Norton suddenly, out of nowhere, started playing this. As soon as that cowboy bebop melody hit these ears, my brain just told me, you know what, King? If you do not go into that dance pit right now, you will regret it for the rest of your life. So I went, what the fuck, and jumped into it. I was bending my body, twisting it into different moves I thought I couldn't do, and I got to dance with this sexy girl who went by the name of Frankie. Never got her last name, sadly. Oh well, c'est la vie. A great set, though, from Emperor Norton's Stationary Marching Band. Then Morning Glory came on next, and I will say that, you know, they seemed like the odd band out of the evening because, you know, they were just a straight-up punk without any sort of brass section in the band. However, they were fantastic. The energy was filling the air, and the crowd was moshing like crazy. Their frontman, Ezra, who I've heard of because of a band he used to be in called Leftover Crack, yeah, he was really cool, and he had that sort of good crowd banter motif that I felt that a lot of bands seem to be lacking. And, you know, with having backing musicians composed of Metal Chris, Adam, Sean, and Brian, Morning Glory were able to create this sort of beautiful raw energy that the audience swallowed up with great ease. I thought that they were a great in-between act for those needing a tiny break from large orchestral artists. A few minutes after they leave the stage, I find Brian in the audience, and he's chatting with a few friends. I say hi, we shake hands, and I ask him how the hell he has time for all this. The man just got married, he just did the tour with Violent Femmes, and now he cut an album with Morning Glory. And he responded, March was a busy month. He responded that with like a chuckle and a smile. But I told him how great it was seeing him. And, you know, I even asked him, inquired rather, about how everything went with that Becca Rosenthal scholarship, the one named in memory of their friend that passed away suddenly. And fortunately, they managed to raise enough funds for it to happen. So that really made me happy to hear. So after we chatted, my friends and I just started prepping ourselves for what was about to happen. Finally, World Inferno Friendship Society hit the stage, and the essence they brought to the Sinclair was... There are really no words. There was dancing, singing, crowd surfing, moshing, and wine tasting from its lively frontman, Jack Terrycloth. Jack is a man whose presence is drowned in confetti and beacons of light. This guy knows how to own a stage, and it's quite the sight to behold. And the sing-alongs were great, from the tattoos made opener and addicted to bad ears to... Cats are not lucky creatures, and I'm so sick of people being sick of my shit, which is a great song if you've never heard it. When it came time for the heart attack waltz, I found Miss Ripley from Emperor Norton's Stationary Monster Band, and I asked if she wanted to dance. She said, why not? And we went into what was, I could only describe as a mosh waltz. It's like a fancier pit with lovely dancing and some violent pushing. During the last song, Zen and the Art of Bringing Everything in the Room, I finally embraced my wild side and gave into the mosh pit and re-emerged with my somewhat fear of the mosh pit concoction conquered. And you know what? It was one of the most refreshing and craziest experiences in my life. In fact, it was kind of like how... this is hard for me to describe. It was like... I became a new person after seeing World Inferno Friendship Society, which my friend, Jess Garcia, hi if you're listening to this, she said it's a common occurrence that happens when going to their shows. Like, I cannot describe how freeing it feels after watching such an amazing band live on stage. It's simply something everyone needs to check out. I will say this, the World Inferno Friendship Society, they put on an amazing presentation. It's not the best concert I've ever been to, however, it is the best experience I've ever come to be a part of. Also, the Sinclair has quickly become my new favorite club. Great acoustics, large enough floor, plenty of bars, and a great mezzanine section for those not wanting to be stuck in the crowd. So, please, I urge all of you out there, be sure to check out World Inferno Friendship Society, Morning Glory, and Emperor Norton's Stationary Marching Band if they ever announce a gig in your neck of the woods. Right now, we are going to play a song from Morning Glory, the band sandwich between World Inferno and Emperor Norton. This comes off of their newest LP called War Songs. It's called Nationality Anthem.
Right, halfway, halfway, here we go! Same, no matter what the color, culture, or the claim. There's always that.
Show they did in Tokyo back in 2003, a 2006 New York City gig from their Pink tour, and another release filled with demos. If you're as big of a fan of Boris as I am, then you may not want to miss out on that release. On April Fool's Day, Crunchyroll announced that they will be streaming the epic epic of epicness that is JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. When news broke out about it, myself and some of my friends couldn't believe it. I mean, literally, we didn't believe it. We thought it was a cruel gag put on by the folks at Crunchyroll, seeing as we had just talked about JoJo with Ariel over there at Anime Boston. So when April 2nd came around, we all held our breaths to see if the news was real. And Crunchyroll delivered in a way that I did not expect. Not only are we going to be getting the new Stardust Crusaders series that is going to be simulcasting at the same time, but they'll also be streaming the 2012 anime series that covered the Phantom Blood and Battle Tendency arcs. So America is finally going to get its JoJo on in animated form. This is something that we thought was never going to happen, as the rights to JoJo have been in limbo for some time. Even Viz Media, who licensed the manga, has said that there have been some roadblocks regarding re-releasing the comic, but hopefully that should be cleared up soon and they can get to work to restoring the original series. I mean, they've got a lot of work to catch up on. I think the manga is on its 110th volume or something. Christ, like, I thought Naruto was long. Anyways, if you want to see what all the fuss is all about, go on to Crunchyroll.com and type JoJo's Bizarre Adventure in the search bar. And for those wondering, this series is an action-packed, balls-to-the-wall kind of anime. Don't think that because it has the word bizarre in the title that it's going to be a comedy. I say that because that's what I initially thought it was going to be. I was expecting it to be a sort of like a bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo show where crazy shit happens in every episode for no apparent reason. Crazy shit does happen in JoJo, mind you, but it's more on a Jason Statham and Crank sort of level. In fact, as we speak right now, it's on Crunchyroll. So, with my permission, you may pause the show, go on to the site, watch what's on there now, and then come back to listen to this episode. Yeah, I'll wait for you. Oh, you're back? Excellent. Coming up next, we've got Moja, who last year released their third album, I Love Cheese. But right now, we're going to listen to something from their first self-titled release. Here's Mister.
Yeah.
Minneapolis, Minnesota. That was Venus on Fire with their recent single, War. Be on the lookout for upcoming tour dates soon at facebook.com/Venus on Fire Music. Alright, boys and girls, get your pens and paper ready because it's time once again for another edition of Sawa Sensei's Nazo Nazo Nyong'o. Take it away, Sawa!
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Sawa Sensei's Nazo Nazo Nyong'o. The spring is here, flowers are in bloom, and I am fighting with a hay fever every day. But enjoying this good and warm season. For this weekend, Tokyo is having the best days for Ohanami. Ohanami means cherry blossom viewing in Japanese. Cherry trees come into full bloom at the end of March or the beginning of April. It varies but depends upon the type of cherry tree, weather conditions, and locality. In case of Tokyo this year, it's been this week. Have you ever heard the word Sakura Zensen? The cherry blossom front? I guess this shows how much Japanese people are anticipating for Sakura season every year. In the weather forecast corner, especially on the TV news programs, in every spring, Sakura Zensen will be announced. Japanese school system ends in March and begins in April, so many of us wish to see Sakura in bloom, in full bloom, for this graduation or entrance ceremony season. All the schools have sakura tree mainly right next to the main entrance of the school, and it's very common to take picture right next to the gate. Also, many of us, not only Japanese, I guess, loves hanami. Hanami is cherry blossom viewing in Japanese. From historical point of view, it's been said that Japanese people have been enjoying ohanami or hanami since 7th century. It used to be a yearly ritual permitted only for aristocrats. They wrote waka, Japanese poems, and enjoyed looking at the beautiful scenery. However, today, people go to park, gardens, or mountains and enjoy a good view of cherry blossom getting together with family, friends, and co-workers. But for many times, it's not only walking and viewing the cherry blossoms, but having a party, for the most of the time, right beneath or right next to the cherry blossom tree. Many parks get really crowded during ohanami season, and sometimes it's quite hard to get a spot for viewing. So, some people even stay overnight to get the perfect place. I know this sounds too serious, but that much we love ohanami, or the cherry blossom viewing. And the party that they have under the tree or beside the tree is like a mad tea party. Like the one maybe you can imagine from the world famous story Alice in Wonderland. Except it's not a tea party, but, you know, many people get drunk under the tree. And from noon to late at night, the party goes on, and only for this season, Sakura will be lighting up after the sunset, and people enjoy the sight of Sakura at night as well. And we call it Yozakura. Yozakura. In Japanese culture, Sakura is not only for the viewing. We love this cute pink flower too much, and so we even eat them. Pickled or salted cherry blossom is one of the spring tastes that Japanese people likes. Probably the most popular way to eat sakura is sakura mochi. Japanese sweets consisting of pink rice cake and red sweet bean paste inside. And this is wrapped with cherry leaves, pickled, and salt. However, you know, as traditions keep evolving, and today there are a variety of sakura taste specialties around in town. Let me give you some examples here. You know, the world-famous ice cream company named Häagen-Dazs, right? There are limited seasonal ice cream named Sakura in Japan. It's like a little salty ice cream together with cherry sauce. It's salty because of the pickled sakura flower. and also a sweet milk taste from the bottom. And here's another world-famous company, Starbucks, has Sakura chocolate latte or frappuccino. Cute pink latte mixed with strawberry, chocolate, and Sakura flavor. Maybe spring is a season of collaboration. Many things are mixed here for the new spring harmony. And there are also soybean milk with Sakura flavor, milk tea with Sakura, or Sakura mojito, etc. Yes, we love Sakura. And there are many ways that we like Sakura, from viewing to eating. And one of the parts that probably the most Japanese like is hirahira, or halahala. This onomatopoeia describes the way how cherry blossom's flower falls from the tree and blown in the wind. During this time of the season, the end and the new start of the year, I mean annual year, we tend to feel sentimentalism through the falling pink petals. Have you heard the song titled Sakura Sakura? It's one of the most traditional and popular Japanese song. And the meaning of its lyrics is as like this. Cherry blossom, cherry blossom, across the spring sky, as far as you can see. Is it a mist or clouds? Fragrance in the air. Come now, come, let's look at last. And I found the recording from the last year's performance of myself. So this is a live recording, but it's one of my most favorite traditional but alternative arrangement of Sakura Sakura. This is part of the performance from the last year, 2013, in Peru at National Theater to celebrate the 140th diplomatic anniversary between Peru and Japan, which I took part in the group named Walik. I hope you like it, and I'll see you soon on the next episode. それじゃまたね。バイバイ。
人は桜をめでるなり。
Oh,
Now, how can you not think that was a badass performance? Arigato, Sawa-sensei. And remember, if you have any questions for our favorite teacher of ours, please be sure to write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com with the subject line, Ask Sawa-sensei. You know, I've always wanted to check out the cherry blossom viewings, but, you know, in America, we don't have that many cherry blossoms. I think the most famous ones are in Washington, D.C., right by the reflecting pool, but I don't think they go as crazy cool as what they do in Japan. So it's a little bit of a dream of mine to be able to check that out over in the land of the rising sun. Maybe one day. Here's a little bloodthirsty purchase for you, and yes, I'm still incredibly bummed about Hideki Yoshimura's passing from last year. Right now, we're gonna play something from their 2007 album, Guitarist Wall Kuro Snide. Here's Nervous Breakdown.
Nah.
2007 release, Dead Rock. For those in the Shibuya area, you can catch their next show at Club Quattro for the second volume of Roxy Party on Sunday, April 13th at 5 p.m. You know, there are still faint glimmers of civilization left in this barbaric slaughterhouse that was once known as humanity. Indeed, here on the Boston Bastard Brigade, that's what we provide in our own modest, humble insignificance. Oh, fuck it. Let's just talk about the Grand Budapest Hotel. I've been a huge fan of Wes Anderson's work since I first saw Rushmore many years ago, and I love the look and feel he gives to each one of them. I like to sometimes compare his works to local community theater productions brought to the silver screen. And if you recall from my Best Albums of 2013 show, I even put Wes Anderson and the band Vampire Weekend in the same boat, as they share a similar sense of whimsy in their works. For the Grand Budapest Hotel, it's no different, but I will say that from the scale of its scenery, it feels more like a local community theater troupe was given a stage on Broadway, large sums of money, and were instructed by the producers to go as batshit insane with the scenery budget. You have Ralph Fiennes in a role I've never quite seen him in before. Well, the closest thing he's done to something like this was probably the Wallace and Gromit movie. He plays Mr. Gustav, a debonair concierge. Upon the death of one of his oldest hotel patrons, he rushes down with his new bellboy's hero and finds out that the Madame D has left him in her will a painting known as Boy with Apple. Soon there are cries of murder. Gustav is put in jail under false accusations. It's up to Zero and his beloved Mexico birthmarked Agatha to break him out of jail, clear his name, and set things right. Now, you know, normally I would go more into the plot, but that's as much as I want to share with you, because it's one of those films that is a sort of subdued goofiness that cannot be spoiled. In fact, I'll say that there are elements in this film that are very cartoonish, especially when it deals with Willem Dafoe's character Jopling. He seems like your sort of Batman villain who's found himself stuck in another kind of reality outside of Gotham. The whole cast is stupendous, as you've got Fiennes, Dafoe, Bill Murray, Edward Norton, Owen Wilson, Jason Schwartzman, and some of the usual Wes Anderson gang doing their usual but still entertaining shtick. The Grand Budapest Hotel is a movie that is as funny as it is beautiful to behold. I know that Wes Anderson's films can be a tad bit weird, but I will say that this might be a film that just about anybody can enjoy. And I will be sorely disappointed if, come award season time, we don't see this film walk away with some trophies for its achievement. At the very least, the set designers should at least be given some recognition for their hard work to make this movie what it was. I know it seems like I throw around perfect scores a lot in this show when it comes to movies, but I cannot deny the fact that the Grand Budapest Hotel deserves a 5-star rating all across the board. See it, and be drawn in by its grandness. We got a new track from Fucked Up coming up next. Not only do they have the upcoming Zodiac EP Year of the Dragon coming out this month, but we've also got their new album Glass Boys due June 3rd. And if you pre-order through Matador Records, you can get yourself a nice little tote bag. I don't think there's ever been a punk band who has also sold a tote bag with an album. That's kind of unique. But then again, Fucked Up is about uniqueness. When's the last time you've seen, or rather heard, a punk rock band open up an album with a flute playing, or 18-minute epic punk rock songs, or do a rock opera like David Comes to Life? But anyway, what I'm very excited about regarding Glass Boys is there's going to be a limited edition version where you're going to have the regular album, and then with the second album, it's going to be, you know, the same songs, but there's going to be very different drum parts, giving way to another way to experience this album. But I'm going to have to wait until June to know what that's going to sound like. Here is the first single from Glass Boys. It's called Paper the House. From their 2005 mini album Ivy. Last year, the ladies released a great covers album called Makeup to Break Up, featuring renditions of songs by Green Day, The Pixies, Blood Red Shoes, and even Tracy Ullman, just to name a few. Definitely check that out if you can. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you are in a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have questions for our friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck. You can follow me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. And you can like us on Facebook on facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade. And do not forget about the other shows under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues Program. PAX East is happening this weekend. I'll be there rocking it with Pandalicious and Ninja Sister of the Electric Sisterhood, reporting on the latest in gaming and tech. It's going to be off the hook, and I hope you'll tune in here on the Boston Bass Brigade for some interview coverage at the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center. Hopefully by that time, my voice will be 100% again. Let's end the show with a happy song from Zagoto Kaitans, who are celebrating their 10th anniversary this year. Here's a nice one to blare at your local pub from Goto Kaitans. No Bikuli, this is Beer Love. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck, reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps. Yeah, 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 yeah.